first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the delayed football podcast show number 114. Now, if you're wondering what happened to us last week, don't be alarmed, we're all okay. Unfortunately, Stuart Hoare is as well. What happened was James Staples, our leader who's absent today, managed to delete the show that myself and Dan Silver sat outside
in the bloody freezing cold.
-8 just before it started snowing.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was a crap show because I'd had quite a few pints and nobody had prepared anything, and we got interrupted by some woman flogging a down market magazine.
It was a great show.
To be honest, I can't really remember. So we'll go with it. But I am here today with, of course, Daniel Silver, with Sean Miller, and with Jerome Mundell, who's in a very good mood after midweek. Yeah. More on that later. Number 114, but let's face it, no one's ever wore that shirt number. What I wanted to ask you all, who do you think is the greatest number 14 of all time?
David Ginola.
Well, I'm going to say by far the greatest, Johan Cruyff.
Simon Roger.
I think we have a winner.
Yeah.
It's interesting though, because we had a slightly different jokey fact last week, but when I said the most famous number 14 of all time is Johan Cruyff, immediately we did get Ginola and Thierry Henry back. I would argue all day long that Johan Cruyff is far superior, especially than Fatty Ginola.
Even though he played for Villa as well.
Well, famously, was his fattest at Villa, wasn't he? John Gregory pointed out. But enough about that. Let's move on. Let's move on to the weekend and midweek's football.
I reckon we get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Last night's
I think
action.
Both League Cup games. We'll start with last night, though. where do you go with that? What are the thoughts? Was it violent conduct akin to Eric Cantona, or was it just a misunderstanding? Should he get more of a ban? Should the
it's quite funny.
Should the ball boy be strung up?
Ball boy should be banned for life. The ball boy.
Where was his last game?
Was his last?
As he pointed out on Twitter, when he said he was going to waste as much time as possible.
Well, he's 17. It's about time he got a proper job.
It's more of a ball man.
Yeah, exactly.
He did look about 12, but he's 17, and he's the son of the director, one of the directors, isn't he? Mm.
It's the first time I've ever seen a ball boy dive.
It was so funny. I was watching it live, and the thing is, straight away, you think that Hazard's gone over to get the ball off him, wrestled it off him, or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the kid's gone down clutching his ribs. You're thinking, oh, don't believe it. Like, what has football come to when even the ball boys are play acting?
Yeah.
And then when it's gone back to the replay, when it's cleared up, you do realise that, yes, he was lying on the ball, and Hazard is obviously trying to nick the ball from underneath him, but trying to nick the ball from underneath him, has also kicked him in the ribs.
Yeah, presumably he's caught him.
Yeah.
It'll be a bit of a knock. He's bloody stupid to have done it, Hazard,
it
to be honest.
I think both of them have played.
And to be fair, Hazard pushed him as well when he was going down to try and get the ball. But if I was Hazard, I would have just stopped and pointed at the ball boy. Yeah. The referee had the time on.
Of course, that's the thing.
It was a rush of blood.
You can't really say that they're both as bad as each other, because one's a ball boy and the other's a very well paid professional footballer.
Yeah.
So one's got the responsibility not to.
One's a child.
He's got responsibility as a ball boy to give back the ball.
Yeah, but it's a very limited responsibility. We're not being paid to be a ball boy.
It doesn't matter if you paid or volunteered to be a ball boy. You've taken on a responsibility as a ball boy. If your ball comes near to you, you don't throw it into the crowd.
Can I just say, we've been talking about this in the office this morning. Like, for some reason, Jay is really anti the ball boy.
I remember the classic tactic at Everton when they used to call the ball boys in when they went 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go. That sort of thing may be acceptable. I personally think not.
But is that in the same ilk as Man City
lying on the ball?
No, well, Man City narrowing the pitch against Stoke. Is it the same sort of? It's a bit cheeky. It's a bit naughty, isn't it?
But it's
part of
let the players or the club play the games.
Yeah.
But why are you getting involved in that? I know you're obviously a supporter of Swansea, but still.
That's like, why, because he doesn't really care.
I'd do it.
Yeah.
You said you would do it at 24.
He's got no real responsibility.
24?
Well, you have a responsibility because you've been given a responsibility.
When I was 17, I'd do it. When I was 17, I would have done it just got on the telly.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. What should happen to Hazard now?
Ban for life.
Any more ban? Well, ban for life. I like that.
Ban already, and that's it.
He's going to have a three-match.
Three-match ban.
Do you think
leave it
that?
No.
I'd personally say that you had a couple more on there.
Yeah.
Just for his stupidity. I mean, you can't draw a line just because he apologised. It is technically conduct.
I mean, the fact that the ball boy went into the Chelsea dressing room afterwards, he apologised for being a naughty little shit, and Hazard apologised for, sorry mate,
for being a naughty little shit.
For being a naughty little shit. So
I like the fact that his dad came out and said that John Terry had been exemplary, and Frank Lampard had apparently sorted it all out.
Really? The problem is that Benitez has actually defended Hazard and laid half the blame on the ball boy, which I don't really know is a good
blame
idea.
Is on the ball
leave the ball boy alone.
I've just got images of some little kid pushing him from Jerome at the bus stop and giving him a boot.
What I think it really is that Jay has got some issues at the moment with young men. Stick with me.
Is this Operation U-Tree?
Probably because Probably because the young men that are close to his heart, his Aston Villa team, got wiped the floor with.
Or maybe he just saw the problem with the League Cup.
Maybe a massive problem with the League Cup.
Villa never wanted to win it anyway.
We've won it like the most times apart from Liverpool.
You want to focus on survival, don't you? Or getting into Europe through the league,
getting
even.
Knocked out the FA Cup and actually focusing on survival, to be honest.
But, I mean, the first thing to say is congratulations to Bradford City, everyone connected to that club.
Yeah,
it's got a fine and checkered history. Obviously great tragedy. They've not won a cup as well since 1911 when they won the FA Cup, not even been to a final. And they're in the fourth tier of English football.
They're beating three Premier League clubs, which is more than Villa, isn't it?
No disrespect to Millwall, but when they got to the FA Cup final a few years ago, I believe United were the first Premier League side they met. So,
I mean, it's unbelievable, and it's only the second time in history that a League Four, fourth tier team have got to the Cup final.
Back then, the League Cup was in its infancy when Rochdale did it, and it was a two-legged final, so they didn't actually get to go to Wembley, whereas Bradford will, and they will fill it out. It'll be a cracking.
Yeah, they're an incredibly well-supported team. I mean, they get gates of around 12,000 regularly.
Oh, they're a big club
in League Two.
They're far bigger than League Two. No disrespect to that league, massive disrespect to Jim Staples. Massive disrespect to him. Clubs like Gillingham are fine in there, but not a big club like Bradford.
No.
Port Vale, they're too big for it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, pretty much everyone but Gillingham.
It was amazing to see as well that James Hansen, the puppy, that boy is a big lad.
Yeah, big old Jim Hansen.
He's moved on well from those days. He is such a monster. But he's a Bradford boy, and to score that header, I mean, it was a thumping header, wasn't it? It was brilliant. And to score that, and for him to have put his hometown through is just brilliant.
Did you read the story about the first leg with the vicar who does the side of the pitch announcement?
No.
Who, after the first leg, said any Bradford fans interested will be sending out information on hotels and buses for Wembley.
No way.
Paul Lambert was dreaming, but he's a vicar. He's supposed to be a man of God. He's supposed to be evil.
Do you know who the rumours are? They're putting their victory down to though. Dynamo.
It's all a mirage, isn't it? Liverpool versus Arsenal.
Dynamo's a massive Bradford City fan.
Really?
Yeah, massive. And there's a few interviews about him and everything. So yeah, I reckon it's all down to him. I reckon it's all a trick.
Have you played him in midfield? After all these are Dynamo, it's very funny for Jay and it's also great for Bradford City to be in the final. To be fair
as well,
Swansea only a few years ago were in the bottom tier of English football.
Yeah.
They're now, well, both clubs, I suppose, are on the doorstep of Europe. Swansea are going to be strong favourites, especially the way they play football.
Yeah. Michu signed a new contract.
He signed an extra extension for them. I wonder
Swansea's rise has almost mirrored Bradford's fall, hasn't it?
Almost, yeah. I mean, it was 10 years ago, I think, that Swansea finished like 22nd.
With Swansea as well, they had
Bradford
like
10 years ago were
10, 15 years ago, we're beating Liverpool to stay up in the Premier League on the last day of the season.
Benito Carbone just, and all that.
Yeah, David Weatherall. Stan the man, Collymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Retro Bradford players.
No, I mean, Swansea, I mean, they deserved it. I mean, there was a few spells where, mainly the first half and start of the second half, where Chelsea looked like they might, you know, they might get the first goal and then go on. But I mean, the last 15 minutes or so, I mean, and especially the last five, when you're thinking that the ball was just going to be right in the Swansea box the entire time, Swansea were just knocking it about. Chelsea couldn't get the ball. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be very interested to know, actually, because obviously Benitez getting a lot of stick at Chelsea, and I get the feeling that Chelsea fans are almost happier to not get through. From ones I've spoken to and some of the reactions I've seen, I'm like, happier not to get through because it means Benitez is less likely to get the job, which, I mean, it's a massive...
He can't get the job full time,
can he? Can't get the job anyway.
I don't think he will, but if you say he won the League Cup, he manages to get them third or even second in the league. I mean, you can't really rule them out the title race.
As a fan, is that really a legitimate attitude to be actively against
the contrast I was thinking with Southampton, because obviously... we were talking about Nigel Atkins getting sacked ridiculously. They've only lost two games in 10 or something.
It's a joke.
For Pochettino, who did an alright job at Espanyol, but got sacked there earlier this season.
Exactly.
But against Everton, the Southampton fans got behind the team. They didn't boo. There was a few Atkins signs and a few masks, and they did chant his name.
Played well, though.
Which is gratitude, but they played well. They didn't boo the manager. They gave him a warm applause. I'm glad to see Pochettino's got rid of that awful hairstyle he had in 2002 when he blatantly fouled Michael Owen for the penalty that won us the game. It wasn't a dive at all.
No matter what
Michael Owen said, it was a dirty, dirty RG.
So going back to the midweek games, though, I think, has anyone ever... When was the last time anyone saw anyone go for a comfort break in a football match? See Jason Puncheon? No. Had to go midway through the second half. Had to go off to use the toilet.
Why can't he do what Big Jens Lehmann did and go behind one of the advertising boards?
Because I reckon he had the shits.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Well, why didn't he do what Gary Lineker did and just do it?
David Batty famously going in for a sliding tackle when he was playing for Leeds in an all white kit. He went off and changed his shorts, to be fair to him.
Going back to fans booing and that, what do you guys think of Noel Ranger's comments on Twitter about...
Good point.
It's interesting.
He said, in essence, like, the fans should stop booing and get behind us. It's not helping us.
He said, if you want to boo...
It's not making a difference to him. He's not playing.
To be fair...
If you want to boo, don't bother turning up.
Yeah,
basically.
To be fair, Noel Ranger's famous for being mature and level-headed, isn't he? I mean, he's never in trouble with the law. He's never...
maybe wanker's a little
bit.
No, I think wanker's sort of pretty nicely.
I think he seems like a bit of a wanker, to be honest.
Yeah, Niall, if you're listening, hello.
I think he's got a point, to be fair.
Yeah.
What's the point of paying your season ticket or your 30 quid, 40 quid to go to a game and booing your team?
I remember a few seasons ago getting into a row with a guy.
What's wrong with you today?
No, I agree with James. Seriously, would you go to Spurs?
I've been very aggressive today,
Jake. You got Benitez in. Would you boo your
Love
actual team?
Love Benitez.
Would you boo your team because they lost?
Okay, say you've got.
I'm not a boo boy.
I paid my 40 quid. I could do what I want. Yeah. But what is the point? That's not helping your team in any way. You're not supporting your team.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. In a roundabout way, it's a valid point, but it's not the most sensible to do when you're an out-of-favour striker who's not performing well yourself.
Forget that it's Noel Ranger.
No, I think you have to. I think that's a big point of it, though. You have to say it's Noel Ranger.
You have to take into account it's Noel Ranger, who is an arsehole.
Yeah, fair enough.
If it was Wayne Rooney or someone like that.
Wayne Rooney did it, and he got pillaried. What is the point of going to
an arsehole, too?
And then booing them for
I think that's slightly different because with that, they made such a commitment, these fans, and that was such a gutless
performance. To be fair, if you're paying £45, well, I would have your team throws it away against Reading.
There are occasions when you do need to
bet. End of the game, that's fair enough, but throughout the game?
No.
There are occasions when you do need to, at the end of a game, if you've witnessed a performance of such ineptitude and such gutlessness,
fans are fickle, though. I mean, the Newcastle fans are, I would say, one of the best groups of supporters of the country, but they're also one of the most fickle. They're very quick to forget that last season they did great. They've always been up and down. But that's because they love their club so much. So
years back when they were in old Division 1, they didn't even turn up to the games, did they? So best fans in the land stuff.
Well, yeah, it's an argument we could go on about all day. But speaking of the weekend's games, Daniel, I think we've got to talk about it. Fair result on Sunday at the Lane?
Well, he says no.
No. I suppose so. But if you look at the gilt-edged chances, I think Spurs had the better of the chances.
Oh, definitely.
And a little bit disappointed that we didn't get... If we'd got a goal earlier in the second half, I think we could have gone on and won it.
I think you may well have gone on and won it, to be honest.
It was a definite pen for Rooney. Yeah. And it's how on earth the linesman didn't give it, I have no idea.
These things happen. That's why I don't understand people getting blue in the face, complaining. Alex Ferguson's come out and obviously commented on it. But it happens.
That him specifically, he's targeting the lino, which is a bit cheeky.
Although he's done it very cleverly, which I'll go on to. But it's a cliche, these things balance out throughout the season. Some decisions you get, you know. But Alex Ferguson was very clever the way he criticised that linesman, because he didn't accuse him of being biased, which is what Sam Allardyce did about the referees. That's why Alex Ferguson hasn't been in charge. He's a wily old fox.
He came very close to it. He said we have history.
He said we have history.
But I suppose he just was commenting on an event that happened in the past. A factual event that he did not give a penalty?
It was an offside. Which actually cost us the title. You could argue.
In that game, didn't Federico Makeda score a goal?
Score from offside. Yeah. People forget that, people forget Federico Makeda scored a goal. Such a rare occurrence. He hasn't scored his token goal for the season yet, and I don't think he will be.
How did what's his face, the centre midfielder,
Carrick Jones, cleverly,
the other one, Kagawa. How did Kagawa get away with that shirt pull
on my bugbears. I'm sick of seeing
I'm going absolutely mad.
And when I was a defender, I used to pull shirts all the time.
Me
and
too.
Dembele, sorry. Yeah, he literally grabbed him and pulled him. It was awful. I think the referee and the officials missed a few big things.
That is what I think should be clamped down on. Corners, free kicks, referees, or one of the linesmen should be watching the area for any shirt pulls, because you see teams like Stoke do it every week, but every other team does it every week as well.
Of course, yeah.
There's the cheeky little tug, and then there's the
foul.
That's part football, always has been. Little tug.
It's a foul. You can't have grey areas. You can't differentiate. You can't say that's a little
tug. And I hate it when you have.
Do you know what I mean?
I hate it when you have ex-pros coming out and say, you'd see 10 penalties given every game. Well, these are all 10 penalties. All of these are fouls.
I think there's the cheeky little niggles that you get when you run around. But then when there's like a blatant pull to the ground, or like you pull someone off balance from it, is different. So just a little just to put someone off, you did a little. I'm just pulling Mike's jumper, by the way. No one can see that. But
it's all right. I'll still escape and add it in. It's fine. I mean, I'm that good. But it's January, so let's move on to transfer news.
Oh.
Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah,
Sean, disappointed, inevitable.
Well, if we keep him till the end of the season, then I'm not too unhappy. It seems like we're going to get a good fee for him. 15 million, is that what's been?
15 million, 12, 10 million, 10 million
up front.
Well, I don't think it's all up front, but 10 million solid, and probably then, in summers, and then 5 million in add-ons, appearances, trophies, etc. etc.
Fair enough.
Plus, allegedly, a couple of players on loan. One of the names you mentioned, Nick Powell.
Nick Powell, yeah. I'll be happy with that. And if we get to keep Zaha for the rest of the season, I'll be very happy.
Well,
with that. Because of Ashley Young's
out injured, so and Valencia's out of form. Nani's coming back from injury and not signing a new contract. Wow. So it wouldn't surprise me.
Because of that, I mean, if he did go now, I would be incredibly disappointed. Yeah. Just because he's such a great player to watch.
Yeah.
I love going down on a going down. Whoa, let me rephrase this.
Sean, that's the there we go. Sean loves going down.
Is this
going
to link back to the story about you meeting Ron Jeremy?
No.
Did he teach you some things?
Well, one or two, but yeah.
But
multi tool misses.
Well, I remember, yeah, in that toilet.
Anyway.
I heard a story about Jay earlier on, speaking of...
No.
Is this not one for listeners' ears?
No, it's not.
It's just talking about public indecency and...
he does that every week.
Well...
You know.
Well, does he?
You see,
sure, what would you say?
Anyway, back to Wilfried Zaha. It's just such a pleasure to go watch him play football. He's great to watch.
Yeah.
And I really hope that... he doesn't have that trained out of him like you see with certain players. And
well, Rooney, arguably.
Exactly, yeah. Obviously, he needs to learn.
It's always called like the street footballer, the sort of footballer who just has what they mucked about doing the skills.
Can you take your United hat off for a second? And do you think it's a good move for him going to United?
Yes.
Honestly.
Without
United hat on. Why?
Because United have a history of cultivating good young players.
Mm.
We've got a history of cultivating British players. We protect players. It's not like sending him to another club where he may necessarily not have the level of off-pitch protection and education. Mm. Where he'll be guided, he'll be looked after fully by the club. I mean, United have people that will go around and mow your lawn for you, will go and do your washing for you. They genuinely do. There's some players...
I don't think he needs all that.
Well, he might not, but that's the level of support that you will get. There will be absolutely no question he will be looked after. He will get chances in the first team.
Yep.
There's no one better than Alex Ferguson. I can think of a few places, if any, where he would be better going.
Yeah. With my Palace hat on, I agree with that. Yeah.
With the clubs that were reportedly interested in him, probably Man United, then Arsenal.
I think Dan is trying to suggest that Arsenal would be the best place for him.
No. The Chelsea's and the Man City's, I would never suggest any English player going to them.
Right, I would lump Liverpool in. They've done a great job with Sterling, but one lad who's moved on this week, Danny Wilson, the young Scottish defender, who they brought in for
quite a fair amount
of money, got chances in the League Cup. Not sure how, I don't think it really worked out for him. Has it worked out for anyone at Liverpool apart from Suarez in the last few years?
Yeah, true.
And he's now gone back to Hearts on loan, which it's
Suarez, I'd love to have Suarez, I suppose.
Yeah.
Just because I know he's a git, and he is.
Well, he'd be your git. That's what I always used to argue about Gary Neville. I'm going to throw my little two pence worth of Spurs in.
I think that's what Suarez is. What Spurs are missing.
Yeah.
If Suarez is a really good footballer.
A striker. Spurs are missing.
Dear, he's not happy. Look at him.
You'll
need one to replace Gareth Bale in the summer, but it'll be fine. Don't worry.
Speaking of transfers, see, reportedly that David Villa handed in a transfer request yesterday.
Yeah.
I would hate it if he went to Arsenal, and apparently they're gunning for him. But I'd love to have David Villa. I reckon he's still got it.
I'm sure he could do a job.
Absolutely.
As they say about most people in Spain.
Can you do it on a cold night in Stoke?
Why is it always Stoke?
I don't know.
Have you been to Stoke? Yeah. The only good thing there is Waterworld, and if you've not been, go. It's an excellent indoor water park.
We will go on to the... I will give a little Melbourne Heart update later.
I was in Rome at the weekend, and they showed a lot of this. I know what you're going to go on to.
Speaking of still got it, Del Piero bangs 4 in for Sydney FC against Wellington.
Good goals as well.
Very good goal. One was a pen, but I think the other three were quality goals. And they ended up, Sydney FC beat Wellington 7-1 in the end, with Del Piero getting 4. And was he 38 now? Is he? Del Piero's on
He must be pushing that.
Hashtag still got it, because he has.
Fantastic.
Quality. Speaking of still got it again, did you see that Ronaldinho is in the squad for the 30-man squad for the England friendly?
I can't believe Ronaldinho's only 32.
I know.
I don't disagree with that. He's had a fantastic season in Brazil.
Yeah. I would pay good money just to go and see Ronaldinho again.
I was amazed. Quite a few of the British-based Brazilian players, like the one that stuck out for me was Rafael da Silva, missed out. Yeah. I mean, I suppose it shows the quality in the Brazil squad.
Yeah.
That there's an awful lot of players who can't get near it.
They're only picking players from London, aren't they?
Well, I think so. They've got Oscar...
Three Chelsea players and Julio Cesar.
Yeah, well...
He's doing a bit though, isn't he? Cesar.
Yeah.
He is. Oh, he has been QPR's saviour for the last few games. Yeah. He's been pulling out some world class saves.
He's much better than QPR, in all honesty, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Stuart.
Well,
Orr,
he's already been linked with Stuart Orr, a degree.
Yeah.
He probably would have said that probably before. Right. Sure. But he's been linked with United and Arsenal this week.
Can't
see it myself.
His quality. He's been fantastic for him. Made some amazing stops against Spurs. But speaking of QPR as well, see Ryan Nelson. This is his last game this weekend, and he's off.
He's been a long-term servant to the club since July.
Last year. No, but I'm according to Stuart Hall, he's been their best defender.
Yeah.
So
you've got him and Hill. Which one are you going to pick?
Clint Hill's been good as well.
Clint Hill looks like he should be running a plastering company. Sean Derry and Sean Wright Phillips is the lad to get into a bit of cash and I'm working occasionally. Ridiculous.
Speaking of just going back quickly of last weekend's results, obviously there wasn't a lot of football played down the lower leagues, all the football, but I think a few of them.
To all the football?
Did I say all the football?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that. To all the football. And snow as well.
There were some games played.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them were called off, but for me, the highlights from the. What I've got mentioned, I think, about the Premier League was Sunderland winning 3-2 at Wigan, Liverpool thumping Norwich again. 5-0, not again 5-0.
Isn't that Norwich, wasn't it 5-0 earlier in the
5-1.
Season? 5-1,
yeah.
And Reading again, two goals for super sub Lafondra against Newcastle.
Why does he not start?
Because I think he scores something like X amount, like a high percentage of his goals from the bench. He's just one of those super subs. Like, he starts, he doesn't score that often. He comes off the bench, he scores.
Yeah, weird. Yeah.
But that's two ridiculous results for Reading in the last couple of weeks. But fantastic for them. They're on a good little run. But
Well, let's hope things get a bit better though for Neuchâtel United, as they've been dubbed, and their manager Alain Pardieu, because they are now a team of French and French-speaking players.
They've signed four this week, haven't they? Yeah. In the past couple.
I do like the fact Sami Amiobi saying that he's going to learn French in order to fit into the squad.
We've got some good news.
Good news.
Just throwing him some good news, and there's a little round of applause as well. Year after, you'll definitely applaud this. A year after he very much nearly died on the pitch at Tottenham, Fabrice Mbeumo is about to be a dad again.
So congratulations
Fabrice. Yeah, that's lovely. That's happy news.
Well, more happy news if you come from Rochdale. Keith Hill, the manager who took them out of League Two or the third division or the fourth division for the first time in 40 years. Has gone back.
Yeah, after being sacked by Barnsley.
So great stuff there. They're not far off the playoffs in what Jim Staples dubs as our league and in what we dub as League Two. But should be good. African Nations Cup. Has anyone watched any?
I have, yeah.
A little bit.
What's been your favourite 0-0 draw?
No,
Jesus.
There's been some poor games.
The game I watched it was Chiedra. Sammy Chiedra, Chiedra.
Chiedra. You used to play for Barcelona.
Marley.
Right.
Yes, they scored it. He scored in the 88th minute.
Seydou Keita.
Yes,
Seydou Keita.
Right. Okay, not Sammy. I thought it was Sammy Khedira.
You're right.
Sammy Khedira, famous African. Have you seen the Congolese goalkeeper celebration?
Oh, what, when on the floor?
Yeah. If you've not seen it, imagine a dog when it's got worms. It is basically that.
Gary Lineker
with worms.
It's not sort of. The blue touch flame hasn't been lit yet, has it? With the African Cup motions yet.
South Africa looked like they're on the verge of getting through. It was always good when a host gets through to the last stage of a tournament.
Go on, kicking show, Dick Choi.
Exactly, Palace fans.
Oh, right, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, very happy.
It's a good player.
Any more stories?
Naughty boy of the week.
And that
naughty boy. Well, yeah, we've had a few.
It seems to be exclusively naughty boys this week.
We have had a few. But did you see old... Materazzi.
Lovely player.
Why is he?
I'd like to be his mate.
Did he call somebody's sister a whore?
No. But he did call Rafa Benitez very very weak. And
did he have an arm wrestle or something?
He said he's quoted as saying at Inter's training centre there were photos on the wall of the most successful past coaches. Benitez had the ones of Jose Mourinho taken down. With that gesture, he showed his character. That of a weak person. And I love the fact that Benitez has gone.
Materazzi loved, yeah. loved. Mourinho.
To be honest, I can imagine where ever Jose Mourinho goes, he just puts up big pictures of himself all around the club.
At Real Madrid, they've been taken down already for it.
Exactly.
Benitez has just come back with, he's a liar. It's a lie, he's a liar. About the pictures, it's a lie, so he's a liar.
And that's a fact.
Materazzi is lying, everything that he said is a lie. About the pictures, it's a lie, so he's a liar. So you don't reckon it's true then, Rafa? Is that what you're trying to say?
I fear the lady doth protest too much.
Well, won't put it past Rafa.
Pointed out by follower of the show, Andre Doublesin, the
Andre Doublesin, he's done it twice, it's not ashamed.
he pointed out something which obviously I hadn't noticed until this point, which is good. The blue square north. Has anyone seen the league table there?
Yes.
It's actually amazing. Chester are leading on 74 points.
Chester thing.
Yeah.
Yes. And Hinkley United are down the bottom on one.
Well, it's interesting. There's
73 points.
Interesting you go on to Hinkley United, because as Jim mentioned a few weeks ago, I'm now following the worst team in English football.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is Woodford United. They're from Northamptonshire.
Yep.
They've got a record, and this is in the Evo Stick South Division 1 Central. It's the 8th tier of English football. Yep. It is
that.
A league below the likes of Hastings United or FC United.
Who frickin' drew again at
bloody
the weekend.
Hastings. Come on,
Hastings.
Come on, Hastings.
Get a bloody
Come on,
victory.
Who's next? it's the same level as Northwich Victoria, not just my hometown team, but probably the most famous team at that level. They have played 22. They have won 0. They have drawn 0. They have lost 22. They've scored 13 and conceded 84.
That is very, very, very close.
Very close to
Hinkley United.
But I was looking at the league, and the team above them, North Greenford Town, that famous name, only have 4 points. And Chertsey Town, and they have 9 points.
How far are they off the...
they are 17 points away from safety, I believe. In fact, I think it's slightly more, I think it's 19 points, because Leighton Town, I think, are in the last relegation spot on 17.
Leighton Town,
big club.
Barry Hearn complains about being there, having, Tottenham and West Ham.
Well, it's not Leighton Orient, it's Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N. I was born in Leighton Hospital, but a different one, I presume.
I reckon that's
it. But they're playing this Saturday at home to Chalfont St. Peter's. So if you're in Northamptonshire, get down there and support them. They really need it. But yes, Daniel, speaking of updates, was it snowed off at the weekend?
No, the weather did not affect Melbourne, funnily enough. I'm not sure if... I don't think we spoke about it last week or the week before, but starts off with bad news. Hart lost 2-1 away to Sydney. No, he didn't.
No.
They conceded 2 in the last 5 minutes again.
I can only imagine the news is going to get worse and worse from here.
You say that, it gets better.
Hey!
Actually, no. I'm going to keep it worse. The bad news is, after the last game against Adelaide, Fred is out for 4 weeks.
Not Fred.
Oh. He's out for 4 weeks. I mean, it is perfect.
What's
barbecue.
What's Roma going to say?
It's perfect barbecue time. I mean, it is the height of barbecue season, so it'll be able to go then.
Love a barbecue,
so far, it's bad news. But the good news is that, again, in that game against Adelaide, they beat him 2-0.
Take that, you wrong out.
So they're in fifth place. Guard. They're in the playoff position. Yeah. They're in a good, solid position. Just need to push on to the end of the season now and secure that place in the playoffs. And go
the people up. Of Erinsborough will be happy, because that was it. That's in Melbourne, isn't it, Erinsborough?
It is.
I believe
the street name is Ramsey Street. I'm sure they'll be delighted.
You're not wrong.
Well, I think that just about wraps us up for the week. It's been
so nice not having Staples here.
We've been able
He's
to talk.
He's going to delete this now, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So hopefully you'll hear this. If you don't, well, you won't know anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
I'll make sure I let everyone know on Twitter this time that it was his.
We'll expose him, don't worry. Email us, banter@footballpubcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpubcast. Complaints?
At Simon Head.
Or at Jim Staples. Why not? Let's get
involved
a bit. Yeah,
get Jim Staples on.
I think we should change it now without him knowing. Jim Staples.
Complaints?
At Jim Staples.
James Staples.
However, just complain to anyone. Visit www.footballpubcast.co.uk. Follow us on Twitter, of course, @footballpubcast.
Yep.
I think that's about it.
Yep. Let's get another pint in.
Yes. Yeah. and let's not cancel recording.